Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our new setup for Pathways Podcast, episode 94.
I feel like I want to break out into song with these in front of us.
I wonder why you feel that way.
Perhaps we have
Perhaps
been.
You have
This
been.
Entire morning for Marcy, we've been
I
singing.
Hope Jen
Nobody
wasn't
wants
recording.
To hear me sing. You have to ask Jen if she got all that.
That's right. Let's hope not.
Episode 94.
Yeah.
How
That's was
right.
your week?
Great. How about you?
Great. How about you?
Good fall fest.
Super duper.
Not great. Super duper.
No, it was good. It's good. I mean, it just, there's so much energy that goes into launch.
Yeah.
And it's always good, but there's always that feeling afterwards of, you know,
yeah.
we kind of did it. And I'm so thankful for all the volunteers and everybody that helped with fall festival and you know, just everybody that was lined up and, you know, children's ministry launched and all those things. It's great.
What a great turnout too for Fall Fest.
Yeah, it was.
Man, lots of new faces and mm-hmm. got to invite some new people to church and saw them on Sunday, so that was great.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I'm always kind of in and out at Fall Fest cuz I'm getting ready for I'm doing sermon prep, so yeah. But you know, it's good to get out there and see people and see the kids, including Dave Wagner, running through the sprinkler.
I'm just going to say the hit of the day was the unplanned sprinkler.
Yeah.
But the kids loved it.
We knew it was going to be 95 degrees. We probably could have just foregone all the inflatable rides and just had
sprinklers.
Sprinklers out there.
That's right.
Did you do the inflatable maze?
No.
No.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Why are you laughing?
Did you compete against somebody?
Yeah, I did it 3 times.
Against who?
Competed every time. The first time was against Nathan. The second time was Mackenzie Cross. And the third time, Mackenzie felt bad for me, so she had to help me through to try to beat Nick. I lost every time. Oh, also, wow. I got this. So, battle wounds from the inflatable obstacle course. That's right.
let it be said that Marcy isn't willing to go the extra mile.
I also felt very old and out of shape. So there's that. In fact, yeah. I was almost to the end and Nathan was like, I'm done. I beat you. And I was like, nah, you didn't go. And he was like, yeah, I'm totally done.
He's actually reclining.
He pretty much was. And he gave me a head start.
He ate an entire meal waiting for Marcy to finish.
Probably so.
But no, it's good. That's right. Children's ministry, you mentioned that. We are so thankful for the volunteers and for that up and going again.
Yep.
I got to sit through a service undistracted.
Yay!
So you have,
that's right. You should have more notes.
I've got a page and a half. So, no, it was good.
No extra bathroom breaks for Gideon.
Yep. That's right. So let's talk about 1 Peter, new sermon series.
Yeah.
We're in 1
Good
Peter.
Stuff.
Pretty exciting. I mean, who doesn't like Peter? I mean, he's that guy that kind of makes us feel better about how we are. Mm. Because here's a guy that was so close to Jesus and yet he had some epic flub ups, and it's fascinating how it works its way into Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for anybody that thinks that Scripture is kind of contrived, I don't know about you, but if I was making something up, I'd leave all the moments where I messed up out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they're in there, you know, mm-hmm. and even in the book of Acts, he was confronted by Paul, and it's mm-hmm. it's just a fascinating study in a character, but also kind of that testimony of, you know, God doesn't, I mean, we're not, he doesn't, the way he calls everyday people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And greatness is achieved through faith. It's not achieved through human merit.
Yep.
And so it's a great study. So.
And very relatable. You said that Peter's the one that you relate with the most. Right?
Yeah. I really resonate with Peter because, you know, he's also was the leader of the apostles, and not that that's why I relate to him, but just that idea of being an imperfect leader. And, you know, it's very, very inspirational to me. And of course he loved Jesus. That was the mm-hmm. thing that made him just such a powerful leader. And, it's good. It's good, study, and it's a good letter. And, it was a good start, I think, for the ministry year.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good.
So why don't you give us some of your highlights
from
Sunday?
There's just so much. So just kind of looking over some of my notes here, So really, to kind of sum it up, the big idea was the hope of eternal life, which is the heading within my scripture piece. And then you broke it down into six pieces, you might say, of that hope for eternal life. So this idea that it's a living hope, that if our hope is in Jesus, it's a living hope.
Right.
And that we have a permanent inheritance. So it's beyond change and decay, and it's something that's permanent and you can depend on. There's divine protection, and we have a developing faith in the midst of it. We have an unseen savior and guaranteed deliverance. So those were kind of the 6 points that I guess you highlighted, I would say, through the scripture and through that passage. And so, but I think that for me, the thing that really landed was that idea of a living hope, that it's, you know, when we put our faith in Christ, that it's alive and it's active, and we have that great expectation of what is all to come.
So let me ask you this. What is something that you've put your hope in that has, you know, failed you?
Yeah.
That maybe some others can relate with.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that we put our hope in a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's, you know, other things that we trust in, anything that we put before Jesus. And
the success of our sports teams.
The success of our sports teams.
You know, I was 0-for-3 this weekend on all my football teams. I couldn't wait for football to start. And by week two, I had an 0-for-3 week. Yep. All of my teams lost. We just lost, lost, lost.
Yep.
No, I think so. Our hope should be in Jesus.
That's right. Do not put your hopes
not in our sports
things.
Teams. That's
if you let a loss ruin your weekend or change like how you treat your family or the joy that you have, like you need to pray into that. And I had to do that personally too. For me, it was fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
Like I on a Sunday, I would just sit there and watch the score, and I would get so angry because my players were playing terrible.
Yeah,
and I finally got to the point where I was like, I need to be done because like this is ruining my day on a Sunday that I get to spend with my family and my kids. And so I finally said, when I realized it, I said, I'm done after this year. I'm hanging up the keyboard.
So
I'm
done. You're about on track. So I probably quit fantasy football about 10 years ago, and I just realized, you know, it's far more fun to not, you know, I mean, you can actually be upset if your player has a bad game, but the team wins.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, well, you know, but big deal. He only had one touchdown, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a perfect example. You know, I think this idea of hope, I think that, you know, as you live longer in life, you experience more loss and things that are going on, and that can be discouraging. There are just so many things.
Yeah,
you know, you buy a new car, and then you know over time it's not the new car anymore, and it just, you know, and all these things. And
but that's America, right? Like money and stuff is where we put a lot of our hope. It's where we find our joy. And you know, you said the hearse doesn't pull a U-Haul behind it when you die.
No.
Yep.
So what are we investing in?
Mm-hmm.
So. Exactly. And a lot of the stuff we're investing in is just a waste of it's a waste of involvement. But yet that's just kind of, we get sucked into it, and we buy into things, and we have expectations, and every time they're just not what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have all of that stuff. It's not like that in itself is wrong. It's just that your hope is in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because he's alive. And that, you know, that I think that sometimes it's good that our temporal hopes are dashed because it does remind us that there's only one thing that's eternal.
Right.
That's the kingdom of God. So
that's permanent.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the other things, too, from the message was just that idea of trials. And, you know, in verses 6-7, it talks about how there's joy ahead, though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And just that idea, too, of how trials develop our faith, and and then that it's not in the midst of a trial, it's not questioning and doubting God, which might be a natural tendency, but it's seeing, okay, God, how are you wanting to grow and stretch me through this trial that I have to endure? And so I think that especially in light of the last, you know, year and a half, that that's just a good thing to reflect on as well, is when times are hard and things change or whatever that might be, how is God inviting us to be stretched and to grow in Him? And
I think it's okay
to ask
that
question. What does faithfulness look like to be faithful to God in the midst of it?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's okay to ask that question. Well, Lord, what are you doing in the midst of this? And, you know, not to forget either all those trials that we've been through in life and to look back and say, oh, yeah, God knew what He was doing.
Yep.
He had a plan. He was in control. And, you know, remembering those little moments where we can look back and say He was in control that entire time helps us get through the current trials that we're in.
Yep.
So. I always like, and I was struck by, because I defined sanctification, because we're talking about the, you know, this process, you know, you could define it as sanctification. And you know, Wayne Grudem's definition of sanctification is it's a process of God and man. And so it's this process that God is doing in our lives, but we're also interacting with it.
Cooperating with it. Or resisting.
Or we're resisting. And I think that, you know, when it comes to this is something that the Holy Spirit laid on me a long time ago, and maybe it's because it kind of resonated with so much of the way I was raised, is that there is, you have a choice to make when times get tough. And, you know, and maybe legitimately, you know, it's a closed door and God wants you to go in another direction. But most often it's you've got to grit it out and you've got to push through, because there's so much blessing that's on the other side. I always remember that story of Chuck Yeager when he broke the sound barrier. So for the longest time, nobody ever broke the sound barrier, because what would happen is as you are approaching the sound barrier, the plane would start cavitating and would start shaking, and everybody thought, well, the plane's it's going to damage the plane. But he actually one day went up there and he decided, no, I'm just going to push through. So he throttled through, broke the sound barrier. And what he found on the other side of the sound barrier, once he went through it, is that it just, the flight leveled out and everything was smoother. And, you know, time after time after time, when you go through a hard season and everything in you says, you need to jump out of this, you need to get out of here. And, but if you allow the Lord to pull you through it, you are so much better off for having gone through it. And, you know, it's troubling for me the number of people that I see, because this process, you want proof that God exists?
Right.
This process is proof. Because as a child of God, you're going to go through there. God's going to develop your character. But I just see so many people that they just, as soon as that starts to play out, they jump out.
Right. So let me ask you a question. So, and so we've kind of talked about this before, but because I completely believe in the idea of perseverance and grit and all of those things. So what's the difference between persevering through and getting out or leaving a situation that you maybe are supposed to leave? Do you know what I mean?
And
so for example, I was a full-time teacher before I started here in ministry full-time. So I had to leave my teaching job in order to come here full-time. So what's the difference between that and just kind of like not persevering through? Do you know what I mean?
Right. So technically you quit your job.
Right, exactly. So somebody could say, well, you quit. But so I had to quit in order to follow what God was calling me to do.
For a
or how do you know? How do you know if it's God calling you to do it or what
so
he's
I don't,
calling you
I
to do?
So I can't answer that for each individual person. I can only answer it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know? And so obviously I've got a stubborn streak. You know, how do I know when I'm just being flat out stubborn? I talk to people. I have counsel. I have confidants. I have a mentor, and I talk to them about it, you know, and I go through this process. So if you know me, I talk about things. I sometimes think out loud. Now sometimes I do that. I have to be careful where I do that, because you know, people, you know, when you're in a certain position, people kind of take what you say and they, you know, they don't realize that you're just processing. But I go through this season of discernment, trying to figure stuff out. Mm-hmm. So I would never impulsively quit something. Never, ever, not in a million years. It would be something that I would pray about. It's something that I would talk with people about. And I wouldn't just look for people that tell me what I want to hear. Right. I would look for people that over the years have proven. But I have to make that decision. It's like all of a sudden would these people have been a part of what God's doing in my life for a long time. Now all of a sudden that changes? Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. I have to change. And so that was all process of it. And I think that for most people, they kind of know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's like this gut feeling. And I think that, you know, for a lot of people, they have a pattern of, you know, just they either quit really easily or they don't. And I think that from a mentoring standpoint, you need to know that about the people you're mentoring. Mm-hmm. Some people have to be encouraged to stay in the fire.
Right.
Some people you just have to say, you know what, it's okay.
Yeah.
You've done your part. You've done everything that you can, you know, go with, mm-hmm. you know, go with a clear conscience. But it's just a case by case basis. Mm-hmm. But do you have people in your life, godly people, that have shown over time that their discernment is legit? Mm-hmm. Do you have those people that you seek counsel from when you're in a really pivotal season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I think that I would say too, from, you know, having people in your life who can speak into those places, is that they are going to tell you the hard things that you maybe don't want to hear, but they also will tell you the hard things maybe about yourself that you don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. So whatever, if there's something in the situation that's making you quit, you take that that's in you, you take that to the next situation. And so when you see patterns repeat themselves,
blind spots.
Yes, you maybe have some blind spots, but that's where trusted people in your life can speak into that and, you know, kind of help point out those patterns in yourself.
If you're one of those people that honestly believes that everywhere you go, people are wounding you.
Yes.
And every situation you go into is a toxic situation. Mm-hmm. Take a moment to consider the common denominator.
Right.
You know, if you stink at relationships, what's the common denominator? You know, you talk to people and they're like, you know, I just make poor choices of who I'm going to have relationships with. And
you're right.
Like, really? Are you sure about that? Are you sure that maybe there isn't something that you drag into that situation? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and you have to be real careful about that. You see these patterns and you know, so for me, if you don't like where you're at in your current situation, you know, and we do this in the journey, mm-hmm. you know, look back.
Yep.
And do you see a pattern? Mm-hmm. And if so, are you repeating that pattern? Mm-hmm. Or is this possibly a time where you say, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. I always remember, of course, if you're a Seinfeld fan, I always refer to Seinfeld, but there's this show where George Costanza, his life is just miserable. And he says, you know what? I realize that every decision I've ever made has been a bad decision. So from now on, I'm going to do the opposite. So whatever I want to do, I'm going to do exactly the opposite. And suddenly he turns his life around. He becomes successful. And it's just hilarious. And it's, you know, but sometimes people, they need to start making different decisions.
Yeah.
And not get caught in patterns.
They have to desire to change and even to have the humility to hear the blind spots and then want to change and move forward. Because if there's no desire to change, it's just going to be repetitive. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to keep being who you are and running the same problems. So
absolutely. And, you know, in Christian circles, there can be this thought pattern that says, you know, if God is for me, who can be against me? Therefore, I shouldn't be in a hard situation. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm in a hard situation, then I must be in the wrong situation. Because if God is, you know, if you got God out for you, working for you,
yeah,
you know, he can move mountains. Mm-hmm. And he can. But he also can put mountains in the way. Mm-hmm. Right? And so there's kind of this, there's this weird dichotomy that exists, is that I know the creator of the universe that can make anything happen, which means that he can also put things in my path to help grow my character and invite me to, you know, maybe he wants me to overcome the mountain.
Yeah.
Maybe he just doesn't want to make the mountain disappear. Maybe he knows it'll make me stronger if I climb the mountain. Mm-hmm. Right. And so things like that. There's another good analogy is that, you know, I think it's, I can't remember which mountain peak it is, but there's this story about people that go, so there's certain altitudes, certain mountain peaks that you can hike to. So you can't take a helicopter to the top. If you do, you need oxygen, right? Because what you need, so it's actually the climb to the top, and the process of going from the base to the top of the mountain that actually acclimates your lungs so that you can breathe at the top of the mountain. And so it's the so you got to go through the process of climbing the mountain to be ready to be on top of the mountain.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, and it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Right. I mean, you just you need the character to enter into heaven, to be in that presence of God. You need that process to play out in your life. So,
very good,
very very good.
Yeah,
let's just touch real fast on 9/11 because 9/11 was on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
You talked
about it in the message a little bit.
You talked a little bit about it in the message and I don't know. I don't know what I want to talk about other than, you know, that was a time, and you brought this up, that our country was under attack and people didn't know where to find hope.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately after 9/11, churches were full.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't long after that where people felt like they didn't need to keep going to church, or they didn't need to stay in connection, and they started to find their hope in something else once again. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it was kind of a special time just to see everybody broken down to this place so low that like they had nowhere else to turn but God.
Well, and you know, people do it all the time, and especially in crisis, you know, we put our hope in things and you know, I think that we thought we were at war that was going, I mean, we were, but maybe we thought that more things were going to happen after 9/11. Perhaps. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when we first went online as a church early in the pandemic, we had thousands of people watching our services.
Yeah.
And you just kind of saw and every church has all experienced the same thing.
Yep.
There has just been this dwindling of involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think initially everybody was like, oh, you know, things are tough, and maybe initially they turn to God, but if you don't turn to God for the right reasons, you don't stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because this process starts to play out. But you know, the whole thing with 9/11, you know, as I kind of think about it and I remember back, and you know, I was an early Christian and I didn't have a good foundational belief of, you know, how does God work? And, you know, you have people that come out and said, this is wrath that God was sending to America, and, or you know, saying all these things. And you're like, you know, is that right? Is this what this is? And because there were believers that were killed, there were, you know, good people that died in the 9/11, and how do you make sense of it? And the idea is that, you know, and this goes back to where we left off with 1 John, the world, this is hard for us to understand, but as the world is today, it is enemy territory.
Mm-hmm.
And evil things happen in the world, and that will not change.
Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of all those situations, in the midst of tragedy, you see God moving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You see God moving in the lives of people, and you see amazing things. I mean, the heroism that was on display. These are God sightings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, just the story of people going down the stairs in the tower, and then so they're heading down, and firefighters and police officers are heading up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, there were no, I mean, maybe there were, but could you imagine if you were a firefighter or a police officer in New York City, on 9/11 that decided that, you know what, this isn't what I signed up for.
Right.
I'm just not going to do my job today. Mm-hmm. Right. They know. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like people in the military, you know, hey, I didn't sign up to get shot at. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think you signed up for?
Yeah.
You know, and so there's kind of this, there are these moments of realization, you know, as Christians, when we came to Christ, we became these foreigners in a strange land. And every time that we're reminded of that, there's a portion of us that are like, well, this isn't what I signed up for. Mm-hmm. Well, what'd you sign up for?
Yeah.
Conditional surrender? Mm-hmm. I'll surrender to Jesus as long as he does what I want him to do.
Right.
But, mm-hmm. but the second times get tough, I'm out of here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And but this is kind of the process that people are in. But 9/11 was, you know, I remember, so I was too old to re-enlist. But if I had been younger, I probably would have.
Yeah.
That's how strong it was for me and how I felt. And I was about 3 years out of the military at that point. So, you know, I wasn't that far removed from it. So I would love to have gone back. I'm sure Vicky would have loved that, but you know,
a few more years.
All those things. But I'm just thankful for the heroes and, mm-hmm. you know, and I think anybody that got kind of caught up, you know, kind of in an anti-police officer narrative, ought to watch mm-hmm. what they did
yeah. mm-hmm.
during that time. Mm-hmm. And that's the heart. I believe that's the heart of most police officers. Mm-hmm. I think that law enforcement, firefighters, paramedics, that's not a job that you do for the glory.
Right.
Right.
It's or even the power mm-hmm. because there's just so much more. It's a job that you do because you just have a sense of duty mm-hmm. inside of you. And I think that, you know, when the time comes, it's amazing how they step up into that place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yep. I mean, even last night we had our Alice training.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just in every story of that are first responders that, mm-hmm. that you know, as people are escaping a hostile situation, they're going in.
Right.
I just so respect that.
Yep.
And it's so meaningful. And so 9/11 was kind of that example, and you just saw it in huge display. And, mm-hmm. yeah. and you know, you saw the evil. Evil is there. Mm-hmm. Evil's out there. I'm thankful for the good guys that are there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That do the things, or the good people. Maybe not good guys.
Even, what was it, Flight 93?
Yeah.
You know, where they caught wind of what was happening, mm-hmm. and they decided mm-hmm. as passengers, like, we're not going to allow them to do this. So they rushed the cockpit.
Yeah.
And probably saved hundreds, if not thousands, of lives.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
No, it was pretty amazing. And, you know, and I think there's also that sense of, you know, it could happen again. Mm-hmm. And most likely something will happen again.
Yep.
And we just, that doesn't change who God is.
Right.
Right. And I think it also, when it happens again, you know, are you ready for that moment? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Right. Is your heart ready?
Like, I don't know that you want to be in the middle of the crisis trying to figure out what you believe. Like
right.
that, and I'm not saying that, you know, God used 9/11 probably to bring people to know him and surrender their lives to him. But, you know, as followers of Christ, we don't want to be figuring it out in the moment what we believe or where we put our hope. And, mm-hmm. and so, cause we're supposed to be the rock, right? We're supposed mm-hmm. to be the ones that when the world's chaotic, I think you said this on Sunday, when the world's in chaos, you know, we're supposed to be steady. We're
supposed to be grounded.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when darkness occurs, you know, God uses his believers as light. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you think in military terms, but, you know, the old saying is there are no atheists in foxholes, mm-hmm. you know, which means when you're in the line of fire,
right,
you're looking for hope. And Jesus Christ is your hope. The problem is when you're in the rear with the gear, mm-hmm. right? And you're not under fire.
Yep.
And you don't really feel like, you know, you can then kind of let your guard down and just kind of trust in other things. Mm-hmm. But when you are on the front line and the bullets are flying overhead and you're in that place, sometimes the only thing you have to cry out to is the Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Well, it's good.
But anyway, so.
On to the book.
What chapter are we on, Marcy?
To the book.
That's a great question. I think 5, I want to say. Didn't we? I think it's 5.
We talked about heating last time.
I think we did. Holding. Vulnerable holding leadership requires relational security. Yes. So this is the chapter on relationships, becoming a tempered leader. So we've looked at leaders working, leaders are formed in leading. Last week, we looked at the idea of heeding, strength is forged in self-reflection. This week is the idea of holding. Vulnerable leadership requires relational security. And then in the weeks coming, we'll be looking at how stress makes a leader, how resilience takes practice, and how resilience comes through a rhythm of leading and not leading. So right. This kind of goes with last week's, in that last week we talked about this idea of self-reflection and just really taking that time to reflect and, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and, you know, do that work in us. But then this week kind of looks maybe outward at our relationships. So as we self-reflect, but then you know, looking at the relationships around us and kind of like we talked about, do we have solid, safe relationships, places where as leaders we can process what's all going on and have people who are not just in the mission with us, but who are with us who are invested in us as a person, not necessarily just because of a position that we're in.
Yeah. And that's a massive, that goes back to what we were talking about. The question that you asked me is that, you know, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? Well, part of it is based on your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been blown away by how people walk away from relationships during a crisis.
Right.
Only because, you know, the people want to get out of a situation and everybody around them is saying, no, you know, you should. And then that makes them mad or something. That's mm-hmm. not what they want to hear. And then they walk away from relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing, so I always talk about, you know, that moment where, you know, I really wanted to quit. And I don't want to overemphasize that. But what kept me in the fire
mm-hmm.
were my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you start thinking about, well, who am I fighting for?
Mm-hmm.
Or why, you know, what, why, the why.
Right.
Why am I here? What am I doing? And because there's something about the process that gets your eyes off the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere in the midst of that, you become the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're the purpose, then the only way that you can see is to remove you.
Mm-hmm.
But there really is this, it's selflessness. And you have to get beyond yourself and realize, you know, all of these things that God puts in your place. So, you know, one of the things that I did, you know, to kind of get me back on track, I mean, I spent time with the Lord, but I started talking to all my, you know, my trusted, my mentors, my, mm-hmm. my trusted, the people that God had put in my life that have always been in my life. And I didn't really ask them what I should do in this specific area. We just talked about life.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me, how are you doing? And, well, how are you doing? And you know, and what I realized is, you know, a year ago, I didn't know anybody in ministry that wasn't in the same place that I was.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's like we all, you know, so in some ways we all got together, we're kind of commiserating, but then we'd come back to this place, we're like, but this is what God's called us to do.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? You're right.
Right. Well, and I think even just that, though, makes you realize it's not just me.
Right.
When this is happening to all the leaders who are all in similar positions as this, and they're all experiencing similar things, there's obviously something bigger going on mm-hmm. than just what's going on with you, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that is also kind of God helping you see things from a different perspective and helping you see a bigger picture. And I think that can be encouraging, not just, we're all in it together, you know, but like it's an encouragement that other people are in the same place and other people are experiencing those same things.
Absolutely.
I think it's important to note too, and you've talked a little bit about this even in the Ask the Pastor series when it, you know, the question was asked, who do you hang out with? But as you go up in the echelon of leadership, like your circles dwindle and it gets smaller, and it's almost like your support structure gets smaller. So it's just, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people realize that you as the head pastor, I don't know, you just have a smaller group, a smaller circle than most other people or normal people because your influence is so great. Yeah. And you have responsibility over so many people. Yeah, and that's just natural in leadership, I think. But
yeah, I had somebody, because I've never really gone into any detail, and I'm still not going to go into any specific detail. Those closest to me know the details. Right? people say, you know, because I think a lot of people have felt similarly. Mm-hmm. They're like, you mind if I ask you, you know, just what exactly was going on? I said, for starters, all we ever heard from were complaints. It just, mm-hmm. a lot of criticisms and complaints were vocalized. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear a lot of encouragement. I mean, there was some, but for the most part, the loudest voices were critics. Mm-hmm. You had people that were that you had relationships with that were just walking away from those relationships. Mm-hmm. You build up relationships with people over a period of years, mm-hmm. and then they get upset over something that was said in a moment. That was very difficult. You had people that you thought were confidants that weren't, mm-hmm. But everybody was kind of responding to the moment in the ways that they respond to crisis, and it was very hard to find something that was encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So the intensity was, he talks about this too. He talks about front stage,
uh-huh.
backstage, and off stage relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So the front stage relationships, it just seemed like they were all just not good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start saying, well, why am I even here? Mm-hmm. You know, why am I the best solution? If you're on the stage and nobody is, all those relationships are bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, why should I go on the stage?
Mm-hmm.
And then, the backstage are people that you kind of, you feel like you can trust to a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're upset too, and they're walking away from relationships. And so it was just kind of that process. But what I needed to do and what I did do is just kind of regain my perspective, mm-hmm. because you still have those relationships with people that are in it with you, and mm-hmm. they're going through the same thing that you are, and they need you as much as you need them, and you're together, and mm-hmm. Things like that. But
you knew your why.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just think, I think the reason why is you kind of go up the leadership ladder, you have fewer and fewer people because there's fewer and fewer people that can understand,
right.
mm-hmm.
what you're going through. A lot of people just can't relate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this period of time we're in, even the last year, is just, it's really hard to be in leadership right now in any aspect of leadership, yeah. whether it's government, whether it's at the church, whether it's, for a school. It is just really hard.
Everybody's an expert.
Everybody's an expert. Everybody has an opinion, and they're not afraid to voice it and throw it out and continue to rally others to their opinion.
Yeah.
And there has just been such a lack of respect for leadership. People that have said, and a lot of them volunteers, hey, I'm going to volunteer for this position to serve my community, to serve this organization. Mm-hmm. And the people who aren't volunteering one second of anything are the loudest critics and just driving a wedge, spreading negativity. And it's just such a strange time we're living in. And it's sad because this is what we're showing our kids
mm-hmm.
too, right? This is the next generation. It's like, well, if you don't like something, just be really loud about it and voice your opinion, and something will change.
Yeah.
And there's just a real lack of respect for authority.
But I hope, that switches,
mm-hmm.
because I think in the end, I just always think of, okay, so you're in the intensity of the battle. It's the most intense moment, but that will end.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point people reflect.
Yeah.
And in that moment, who were you?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? Did you attack? Did you turn on the people that are on the same side with you and start shooting at them? Did you,
right.
What did you do? Or did you rally together with a group of people and say, you know what, we're going to push through this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not going to compromise on what we know is true in the Word of God. We're going to push through this. And when it's over, you know, we're going to be that much closer together because mm-hmm. we stuck together.
Yeah.
We didn't jump out. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, that is such a strong feeling. He says on page 109, kind of in the middle, he says, perseverance not only enables us to develop tenacity, but also inspires others to persevere with us. Mm-hmm. Acts of resilience and perseverance remind us that we can't outgrit the challenges we face by ourselves. And then he mm-hmm. uses this Navy SEAL. The Navy mm-hmm. SEALs go through Hell Week not only to weed out the weak, but to teach the strong that they will only endure if they learn to rely on each other. Mm-hmm. So what if this last year and a half has just been one big lesson in that?
Right.
You know, I always think about, you know, and it's interesting because God gave me this picture a long time ago of Navy SEALs during Hell Week. What a lot of people don't realize is you can quit at any time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you have to ring this bell.
Right.
When you quit. And so you have all these people. So imagine you're gritting it out, and simultaneously you're hearing this bell of people that are quitting. Mm-hmm. And there has to be something inside of you says, I'm not going to quit.
Yep.
But it's such a desperate situation that the only way you go forward is by banding together with the people that are next to you.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's just a mental toughness there too. I think a lot of people have this picture of a Navy SEAL as like this big, you know, muscle cut guy, but you know,
your ears,
it is. And if you spend any time with them, like they are just the most, they're a little bit off, if we're going to be honest,
by the world standards.
I mean, but it's because they have it. They're so mentally tough that they can persevere through things. And when their body says, I need to quit because I can't take anymore, they're able to push through that and say, no, I'm not quitting. I can mm-hmm. do more.
Yep.
And so it is. It's between the ears, and it's this grit that says, not giving up, I'm going to push through. Mm-hmm. You're not going to stop me. And so,
yeah, and I think, you know, and I think, you know, just military in general, that a lot of people, even going through basic training, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people, they go through all these exercises because they have to prove to themselves they can do more than they think they can.
Right.
Yeah. The military's done a great job of that for years, of breaking people down, right, where they don't think they can do it, and then building them back up to where they know they can do it.
Yeah, and I think that it's, you know, I don't know if you want a lot of people in the military that don't really want to be there. There's something to be said about a volunteer service, but simultaneously, there was a benefit to the country when people served in the military, mm-hmm. because it just gave them this almost like this mental edge mm-hmm. that when you go and you do things. And I would say, you know, for me personally, you know, Even playing football mm-hmm. was a part of that process for me. I remember the days we had do-a-days. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, I mean, even playing college football, I've actually found preseason summer camp harder than basic training. Mm-hmm. From a mental standpoint, a physical standpoint, all of those things. And so, you know, have you had things where you mentally had to get stronger,
right?
And kind of die. And I just think that's a big part of all of this. And if you're going to be a leader, you're going to go through this.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way.
Yep.
So anyway, we talked about the front stage, the backstage, and the offstage mm-hmm. relationships, just to kind of briefly touch on that. So as a leader, kind of the public mm-hmm. part of your leading is the front stage. The kind of the behind the scenes is the backstage, and outside of the arena is the offstage, mm-hmm. right? So do you have relationships? So do you have people on the front stage that are with you trying to carry out the mission and the vision? Do you have people in the backstage that you can kind of be vulnerable with and process mm-hmm. how things are going? And do you have people off the offstage that don't care about any of that?
Right.
Yeah. They just care about you mm-hmm. yeah. and they want to talk about you as a person.
Mm-hmm. And you have to make a decision as a leader too, like, I'm not going to let the in front of stage like affect me or influence me,
right?
Like that my influence is going to come maybe from some of the backstage and maybe definitely from the off stage, but those are the people that you mm-hmm. talked about, you know, identifying your blind spot, you know, giving you words of encouragement but also of truth. But it's getting us in this position of like, these are the people I'm going to allow to influence me. These other people, I love them but what they say and what they do is not going to influence me. Right. It might hurt my heart, you know, to mm-hmm. see them do that, but they're not going to influence and change the character of who I am.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that the backstage relationships, if somebody, so that's the area where you let a little more vulnerability out mm-hmm. and you're processing the execution of the mission and the vision. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes those are places where if there's like resistance mm-hmm. or that really hurts, yeah. mm-hmm. right? That's what really hurts. These are kind of the backstage teammates mm-hmm. that, you know, and we rally to each other, but when there's a division there, mm-hmm. that's really hard to overcome.
Right.
So, that's all good stuff. And I, you know, just kind of reminding everybody this idea that, you know, your relationships, how are they set up and
matter.
And what do they look mm-hmm. like? That's right. And that's why if you have walked away from relationships,
right.
good point.
That's a bad idea. The last thing he says is that the key to having a good mentor-mentoree relationship is the mentoree. Mm-hmm. Because the mentoree has to be coachable. Mm-hmm. They have to be, you know, flexible enough to where you can have people be a part of that process in your life. Mm-hmm. And you've got to trust the people that God's put in your life as mentors.
Yep.
So if you have, and I'll just say, if you have relationships with nobody, like, you need to fix that. Like we are called to be in relation with each other. We're called to be in fellowship with each other. Isolation and just withdrawing from everything. I you gotta prayerfully consider that because it's simply just not biblical. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. The other thing I would say is that sometimes it takes time.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it seems like maybe people come and they want that right away, but you have to understand too that there's a process involved right. even in relationships. So if you've just moved or you're just looking to get plugged in or all of those things, just know that those relationships and all of that can happen, but sometimes that process does take time.
Yeah.
And part of that process is persevering through hard circumstances yep. together.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, going through a tough season together.
Yeah.
You know, that's all part of the process. Yep. That's why you don't jump out
right
in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Because then you got to go start that all over somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. No, there are people here at The Way who have persevered through and who've been like, sign me up. I'm there. I'll help. And I personally just have so much more respect for them now, I
Absolutely.
Guess. And I don't even know if they know it, but I have so much more respect for them now because it's like, I don't know that I would have necessarily known that about them before, yeah. but we've been through that. And now it's like, oh yeah, they've got some grit. They stuck it out.
When we were putting the ministry year together last summer, and you know, even again this summer, you know, those people that yeah. are just, we're in.
Yep.
What time you want me there? You know, they just bring tears to your eyes.
Yeah, how can I help?
You're just so yep. thankful to God for those people. And you know, if you're watching and you're one of those people, thank you.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You have no idea what that means to people that are trying to lead a group through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, just, yeah, I mean, it's just a powerful thing. And, you know, a lot of those people have been those people for a long time.
Yes. yeah.
So yep. it's not just this season.
Right.
It's been yeah. that way year in, year out situation.
Yep.
And so I'm very, very thankful for mm-hmm. those people. So anyway.
That's good.
Announcements.
Announcements. All right. I've got my middle school youth t-shirt on. So middle Yay. School and high school youth group starts tonight. We're so excited. High school is having a parent meeting. So parents of high schoolers, be sure to come on out tonight as well. And middle school starts at 6. High school serves food at 6:30. And so invite friends. It's going to be a great night.
Yes.
So that is tonight. And we've got all kinds of things going on. This is our official fall launch week. So right. everything, well, I shouldn't say everything starts this week, but a lot of things start this week. So Let's see. Sunday morning, we had children's ministry during the 9 o'clock service. The Bridge, which is our young adults ministry for 18 to 25-ish, kicked off on Sunday as well. And they meet every other week. So they won't meet this next Sunday, but they'll meet the Sunday afterwards. Monday night, we had divorce care and grief share and the spirit-led work ministry. And so those are ministries that are going to continue that, especially, well, all three of those, I guess. If you wanted to jump into week two, you could still have time to do that. You could stop in the office and pick up a workbook for divorce care or grief share. And the spirit-led work ministry is just kind of a come week-by-week basis thing.
You know, so one of the things that I would add to that, we were talking about these relationships and how they're formed.
Yes.
They are formed in discipleship
they
classes.
They are, yeah. There's a lot of those deep-level relationships that are formed in discipleship classes.
Yeah, so the information
you get to know people
in the discipleship class is a benefit, but it's more about the
it is
the relationships.
It's a lot about the relationships that are formed in the midst of it.
Yeah, I've still got a group of guys that I meet with from A Way of Life.
Yep.
And that was 3 years ago.
Yep.
So
yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
So, and then coming up, so next week, you
next
start
week.
Theology, right?
Yeah, we
next
start theology.
Next week, Tuesday,
which
theology starts.
Found out that Wayne Grudem's revised
I don't know
book,
if you should tell people this.
It's too late.
I know what you're going
to say. They already signed up. 258 extra pages.
A little bit longer. So don't worry, though. We are working on that.
I don't know.
He rolls in a lot of extra information.
Yeah.
So we've talked about maybe you don't need to read the extra 14 pages on Mormonism.
258 pages.
But because it's very lengthy and wordy. So don't be afraid of taking the theology class.
Podcast.
Don't let Aaron scare you with his 258 extra pages.
It's 258 pages of goodness.
But just know we're working on
it. By the number of weeks.
26 weeks, so it's only 10 extra pages a week.
Yeah, that's piece of cake.
Piece of cake. Yep. Aaron will be doing it with you. So there's that.
I'm doing it with you.
That's right. He's in it with you.
Yep, we're in this together. No, it's going to be good.
It will be good.
That makes me want to get the new book.
I have
because
one.
I would love
you
to. I would love to see
you
what
can
extra
take it and look through it.
Yeah.
I haven't looked through it yet. Obviously, I'm sorry.
I've looked through it a little bit.
Felt a little bad about that.
That's right.
So we'll get there though. Thanks for test running that, Aaron. Good work.
I'll let you know how it goes in 26 weeks.
That'll be great.
It will
so
be.
The last Tuesday of September, Alpha starts, too.
Oh,
so
good,
we've got an Alpha group that you can sign up for that as well. So you can go to our website and register for Alpha, and we'd love to have you join us.
Great lineup of speakers, I hear.
It is a great lineup of speakers.
I heard my wife's doing one.
She is. I know. I'm so
she
excited.
Does a good job.
It'll be good.
She's doing one on prayer, I think.
She is. Yes.
Perfect.
Yep.
Prayer team leader. There you go.
Yep. That's right.
No pressure.
It's going to be good. No pressure. It'll be good. Wednesdays is middle school and high school youth group, like we mentioned. And we're also going to have a Way of Life and Walking with Others classes. So those are part of the Vantage Point 3 series that after you've taken the journey, then you take a Way of Life and then you can take Walking with Others. And so those classes are also meeting on Wednesdays. So if you're interested, you've got about 12 hours to sign up for that.
You know, speaking of that Alpha class, if you got somebody in your life that you've been wanting to invite to church and they're not going to church, this would
Alpha
be
is the place to do it.
Alpha
to
is
invite
the place
yep
to invite somebody.
Definitely.
It's in the evening. They
feed you.
They
it's a
feed you.
Good class for people who are skeptics,
yeah,
not sure what
class
to think about
people,
Christianity or church.
Yeah, tell people, say, you know what?
Bring all your questions.
Yeah, bring all your questions and,
yep,
and we'll have a discussion.
Absolutely.
It's a great place to go.
Definitely. Definitely. So, and then Thursdays is women's ministry. We have a daytime group at 9:30 in the morning and also an evening group at 6. So it's the same Bible study in the morning and the evening, just different options to come in for that. And men's ministry meets on Thursday evenings as well. So we have women's ministry and men's ministry. Men's ministry actually kicked off last Thursday, but
I heard it was a great meeting
too. Still jump in. I heard that
I heard
also.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Good turnout
so,
and good
yep
discussion. Just very affirming that, you know, I talked to Jeff Guthrie, who leads it, and he's like, man, it just felt so good to get back together and get with everybody. So
back into routine.
Yeah.
It's good. So, and then ladies sewing group on Thursdays, they meet during the day, and the journey class will be meeting on Thursday night. So that's also part of that Vantage Point 3 series. The journey is the first one in that series. And so
I just got a great idea.
What's your great idea?
100th episode,
oh,
we
dear
have a sewing competition.
Boy, that sounds that'll keep people
so the greatest thing.
Fairly confident that Aaron thinks he's going to win that.
Well, I've heard about your sewing ability. You've self-admitted that you can't sew a button.
I have self-admitted that.
You look like you're the lead singer for a rock band right now. You're just like,
I need a bigger stand. I need to stand up. I was gonna get some flair on there, some scarves.
Oh, that's good. So, Fridays is Operation Finding Freedom. First Fridays of the month. I'm just going to keep going. Prayer team meetings on the second Saturdays of the month. Made to Grave classes starting in Baxter in October. I'm not looking at you. All kinds of ways to serve. Prayer team, nursery, children's ministry, ARC events, meal teams, decorating team, tech team, worship team, community meals, welcome and connections, and the gathering table. So all kinds of ways to plug in.
All kinds of ways to plug in.
All kinds of ways to plug in. Now's the time. So, it's good.
What a great ministry year you've put together, Marcy. You put a lot of work into that, and I know you have some helpers that help you put everything together and make it look nice and neat in your books. But no, we appreciate all the time, even into researching like what is the best class for people here at the Way, and there's just so much that's offered. There's no excuse for not finding something to plug into.
Yeah.
But again, it takes leaders to do that, right?
Definitely. Yep. We've got an amazing team of people and lots of leaders stepping up to lead classes. And
you all are awesome.
It's great. Yes. Absolutely. We're so thankful for all of you.
Absolutely. So we're blessed.
Definitely.
Well, good. Well, that is all we have.
That's
right?
It.
That's another podcast.
All right. So we have what? We have 6 more weeks to think about what we're going to do for our 100th episode. We would take suggestions.
Ooh.
We're not necessarily, I mean, obviously we get final say in what we're going to do, but all suggestions are welcome. I'm
guessing sewing competition won't be one.
Sewing competition.
Eating food with mayonnaise and mustard.
I just threw up in my
mouth.
Watching
Aaron throw
we're
up.
Not, we're
That's
not,
what that will amount to.
We're not doing food.
Come on, Aaron.
We will.
You survived the hot wings. I mean, come on.
I did survive.
You did.
I did.
In fact, you completed it thanks to me.
I tied for first place
thanks
in that competition.
Could they have like
you
mobile,
never would have made
have, like,
it had I not kept
throwing?
Going. I don't know. That would be fun. That would be really fun.
Let's do an axe throwing contest.
Maybe we could. That would be fun.
Jen's just thinking, how am I going to film this? No, we'll think about it. But if you have some thoughts, we're coming to 100. Well, that's true. That's true. We have a drone now. We could film overhead. And anyway, we'll think about that.
We'll see.
But these are some things that want to let you know. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. As always, we love you and we look forward to seeing you again. Hopefully, sometime soon. And have a great rest of your week.
Have a good day.
Bye.
See ya.